The jumper, yes, 71 for David Robinson.
Sean Elliott, he fires the three.
The San Antonio Spurs select Tim Duncan from Wake Forest.
It's not supposed to be easy. Every round gets tougher. I want the best.
What's going on, everyone? Jobin Diaz here with another edition of the Alamo Zone podcast. Joining me once again, he's pretty much becoming my impromptu co-host because he's available. But welcome back to the show, Keeson Ramirez, everyone.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Air Alamo editor, just doing a phenomenal job. I was looking back at the archives, actually. I was just like, this guy must post like every other hour. This guy has a million posts up. In July and June, and I'm just like, this guy's incredible. But yeah, go check out airalamo.com. He's always tweeting, whether it be weird random stuff, and having Breaking Bad as his Twitter icon, which makes no sense for a Spurs account, but you know, we all love him. And so, but anyway, Keeson, how are you doing these days?
I'm doing pretty well. I mean, I'm just adjusting to the whole Olympic thing, which I'm having a pretty fun time covering, actually. Just because there's so many Spurs on different teams. So I can look at Australia if I want to talk about Patty Mills, Brazil if I want to talk about Thiago Splitter, Argentina with Manu, and then I have France with the triumvirate of DiColo, Parker, and Diaw. And those guys are it's just fun, a blast to cover a multiple diverse teams. Like, most teams don't really have that, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, if this was, you know, just an all-American team, it'd be a little bit different. And the fact that, you know, these guys are like superstars from where they're from, you know, and a lot of people around the country don't really, I don't think they really see, you know, Ginobili or Parker or Duncan really as big as superstars as we see them. But in their countries, these guys are just huge. Like, they're the LeBrons of their country. Maybe not so much Patty Mills, but, you know, Argentina and Manu Ginobili, just that he means so much to that team. And can't wait to see what Parker and Diaw can do. I'm kind of a bit disappointed, though, because Team USA, and we talked about this a little bit last podcast, was, you know, is this better than the 1992 Dream Team? And I was like, I don't think they'll do so hot against Spain, and they just ran away with it at the end. But, you know, it kind of sucks that they had their injuries with Rubio. Is it Marc Gasol that got injured?
Yeah, he had a shoulder injury, but I think he'll be fine in London.
Is Rubio going to be back, though?
Rubio's not playing for sure.
Okay.
So that's unfortunate. But, I mean, they're deep enough to, I guess, withstand a guy like that, because Calderon's a pretty serviceable backup plan in that regard.
Yeah, and this is a Team USA team that has, you know, just they it's not going to be one guy doing a whole load of the work. It's going to be a guy every other night scoring 30 points, and that's a good benefit for, you know, the U.S. just having those just small forwards just changing them in and out. But, you know, do you think that size will kind of catch up with them? Do you think that'll prevent them from doing as well as they should?
I think it'll prevent them from doing as well as the Dream Team, which is kind of a ridiculous notion to start. But I don't think it'll prevent them from winning the gold medal. I think it's a flaw, an inherent flaw that they have, but I don't think it's enough to really, really lose sleep over, really, in all honesty. They have so many guys that can kind of shift over to the four and shift over to the five, kind of like quasi big men, and they seem serviceable enough to withstand any front court like Brazil and Spain.
And funny you mentioned Brazil, too. You know, you got Thiago Splitter over there as well. And with the Summer League, you know, we saw some other guys that were some of the Spurs' other foreign players, which overall the Spurs didn't do as well as they did in 2010 in the Summer League. But, you know, just to get onto that for a little bit, you know, how did you think that San Antonio did in the regard of Summer League?
I thought we did pretty well. It was unfortunate that we lost three consecutive games, but I think that was in large part due to Kawhi Leonard, our definitive best player. But I like what we saw from Corey Joseph. He looked like a decent floor general, decent knack of scoring. I mean, he just looked comfortable out there holding the reins, so that's what I liked.
Does he not remind you of Tony Parker?
A little bit. Admittedly, I don't really see that as much as most people do. I don't really think to myself, oh, it's Tony Parker. But then you kind of look at him a little bit and goes, oh, I kind of see the little resemblance there.
Well, just like the way he plays, it's just like he'll attack the lane.
He falls down a lot.
Yeah, falls down like a lot of times. But and sometimes, though, I love this out of Corey Joseph. Sometimes he'll recover, and, you know, when he's falling down, you know, about to take a big fall, you know, there was a few plays where he just, you know, would see, you know, an Eric Dawson or whoever was at the post, and he'd just, like, dish it off. But that's something that I like in the point guard. You know, a lot of times you see Parker kind of give up on those plays. He'll just kind of throw it away. I don't know if that's intentional or not, or he just doesn't see anybody because the Spurs have so many big men that like to spread the floor and aren't always, you know, post up down low. But I like that out of Corey Joseph, and I think he can have a long career in San Antonio as long as, you know, San Antonio has a need for another guard because they're so stacked at that position. Mm-hmm. They've got, you know, Gary Neal and Danny Green coming back. You got Patty Mills coming back, Nando DiColo, and just a plethora, really, of just guards that they can choose from. And so I'm excited to see what they do and see where Corey Joseph goes. Because do you think he'll be more Austin Toros again in his sophomore season?
Yeah, I think more Austin Toros, barring like a really impressive training camp. But I also like to add on him that I don't see him being quite the scorer that Parker is. Well, really, no one is. Or quite the finisher, which is another strength. But I like what he's doing right now defensively. He kind of looks like he doesn't give up on plays defensively, and it seems like he's just going to develop into a player that defends better than Parker has. So I like that going down the stretch for him.
Big time. If he could become a defender and do all that good stuff that Joseph can maybe make his way into the rotation, it's going to be extremely difficult. And another guy, you know, Kawhi Leonard, as you mentioned, like the Spurs just kind of lost their little magic touch without him on the court. They seem to be a little bit unstoppable because Kawhi is such a versatile player. He can play just about any position because he's so long. He's just got he's got great athleticism, you know, for a guy his size. And so I really like Kawhi Leonard, you know, coming back and having a more effective sophomore season. But is there any other guys that kind of jumped out to you this summer league?
I would say Ryan Richards, but it seems like everyone's just, as I guess, salivating over him. So I kind of like what I saw from Tyler Wilkerson. In your grade for Air Alamo, I'm not pointing anything out, but you had Eric Dawson having a better summer league, which is really a decent point, and I can definitely see that. But I actually, in my opinion, I thought Wilkerson looked a little better on the floor. I like that he seemed to have a better shot, and he was a better offensive rebounder. And it's really close between them, but if I had to pick, I prefer Tyler Wilkerson in the long run. But it's really defensible either way.
Yeah, I've been a big Wilkerson fan, though, for a long time. I just really liked what I saw from what the basketball I did get to see, because with all the stuff going on, you know, I didn't get to see every minute of action. But I like Tyler Wilkerson a lot. I think he can land a contract for sure this upcoming season because I think he's proven back-to-back summer leagues that this guy can play and having that, you know, having his talent showcased in Vegas. But I really like Eric Dawson, though. The only thing, and I, you know, you obviously read my summer league grades, but guy has to be a little bit more confident, can't hesitate. You can't ever hesitate with that shot because if he can be a big man that can kind of have that mid-range game, kind of like Duncan, kind of like Boris Diaw, you know, that's going to benefit him a lot in the long run if he wants to get that next contract because if you can go down there and grab as many rebounds as possible. The only problem with these two is that they're very undersized. Well, not very much so, but they're undersized, you know, big men. And so it kind of hurts them, but I see the one of these guys just – they could be, you know, getting some playing time with the Spurs, possibly if they can, you know, produce, you know, with Austin Toros next season or wherever they are. But Ryan Richards, just I don't know what it is about that guy. He's huge, and so is Alexis Ajinka or whatever. How do you ever pronounce that? Those guys are so big, but they just don't look comfortable to me. They kind of look a little stiff out there sometimes, and when they do, they're just overly aggressive, which is good, but you can't be picking up fouls every other, you know, play down the stretch, but it just, I don't know, maybe that's just me and from what I saw, but other than that, oh yeah, what I wanted to talk about, what do you think about Cedric Jackson and Dwight Bukes?
I want to talk about Cedric Jackson for a little bit. I like Cedric Jackson. I don't remember which game it is because I have a really bad memory, but the game where he created 7 steals, I think, was really fun to watch because he was just a hassle on defense. He was just a menace. He was just harassing everyone, creating steals. He looked decent in transition, though he didn't score too much. And he made some decent passes. So I liked what I saw from Cedric Jackson, even though I don't think he's going to go anywhere in the NBA this season. And Dwight Bukes looked pretty much the same. I classify them as kind of the same player. The combo guard, undersized like Marcus Denman, who will not be with the Spurs this year, that can score a little bit. And they have a lot of flaws, but they have enough to bring to the table to at least warrant some attention.
I'm definitely, though, with you. Marcus Denman, Buford brings him in as a shooter, and he doesn't do that one bit like he did a few times. And just for some reason, I think it's just kind of a rookie mentality to not try to step on anyone's foot. But Denman has to be, you know, he has to be more confident with, you know, just like, this guy was brought in for one reason. It's not because the Spurs need a guard. We need shooters, consistent shooters. Mm-hmm. He didn't show that. And I was really hoping he would just have a game where he just went off. I think it was Alonzo G that did that, you know, two summer leagues, or one the last time summer league happened. He just had an incredible game, and maybe that was Gary Neal who also went off. Because I know Gary Neal had a phenomenal 2010 summer league.
Yes.
But Alonzo G as well, to his credit, he just did a great job and landed a starting job with Cleveland. Not sure if he still has that. But, you know, I want to see more out of Demet. He's the 59th pick in the draft, and I think that a lot of fans want to just say that this kid's going to be good just because the Spurs front office, you know, had faith in him. But, you know, in this league, just when you have that open shot, take it. The Spurs are really good at ball movement, but you know, just it's summer league. It's an exhibition game. Go take your shots. You know, earn that contract. And so, just kind of makes me mad. Marcus Denman, though, because I've tried to defend him a few times. Spurs fans who don't like him, you know, I watch probably more Big 12 basketball than a lot of other people. I thought he was pretty good in college. I just want to see some more. But overall, summer league, I thought was good. I think Jacques Vaughn put his talents on showcase in Vegas, and hopefully, you know, not hopefully, but because I'd love for him to stay with the Spurs organization. But if he can land that Orlando job, that's awesome. I'd be really happy for Jacques Vaughn. And also, it would probably provide you with another post. Hey, Jacques Vaughn's doing really good in Orlando. Look at that. Dwight Howard loves Orlando now.
Yeah, you know I love those content pieces.
Exactly. And so if you can get that little fluff piece now, just get that. But I want to see Jacques Vaughn do good because I liked him when he was in San Antonio. And so I just want to see these guys blossom. But then again, the rest of the league's like, hey, the Spurs are doing everything right. We should just offer these guys more money, and then the Spurs won't be good anymore. So they'll be screwed because we're gonna just take Danny Ferry. Ooh, give me a little Jacques Vaughn.
Yeah, yeah. Just, but then little do they know that we'll just develop another guy that'll just be the next hotshot. So I mean, we just seem to be like a prime spot for new talent.
Has Sam Presti reproduced? You know.
I don't know. Not yet.
Because we could use another Sam Presti in the organization. That would not be a terrible thing. But anyway, to talk a little bit about Olympic basketball, though, you think that Team USA can go and win the gold. Is Spain the overwhelming, you know, second favorite?
Yeah, I think that seems to be a fair point. I mean, they're noticeably ahead of Argentina and, I guess, Lithuania and France, just because they have the three-headed front court trio. Assuming Marc Gasol is really healthy, comes back more relatively healthy. And they just have a lot of scorers. Rudy Fernandez, Victor Claver, Jose Calderon's really good as a point guard. So I think, yeah, it's pretty obvious. I guess they're just the definitive second. The definitive, better put it, silver medalist.
And I kind of agree with that. I just want to... I don't want to jump to too many conclusions because I'm trying not to just totally depress myself with the fact that I think that Team USA is going to run away with it. Because when people start thinking that, oh, they're going to win, why watch? And so I'm trying to tell myself that something can happen. Maybe a team can pull off an upset here too. You know, look at Spain just got beat by Japan in soccer. Who would have thought? But no, it's just in the Olympics, I think just about anything can happen. Because these guys that are going up against these NBA players, they want to be in that position, but you know they just got to go out there and just give it their all for their country. While these NBA guys, you know, I don't want to say they don't have as much country pride. It's a much bigger deal to these other guys getting to be on this stage for once every 4 years. Because you know these NBA guys are on this stage, you know, every for 82 games plus how many other playoff games. And so I think it's awesome for these other countries to get to shine and show off these guys who don't get the contracts. We're coming to we're getting closer to the end of the show, and I always like talking Spurs basketball with you. I like talking basketball in general with you because, well, you're a smart guy to my knowledge.
Kind of. I don't know. It's debatable.
Compared to me, I think you're smart, but I like to talk about entertainment news sometimes, and I just wanted to ask you, have you seen Dark Knight?
Yes, I have.
Did you see it? Or you've seen all three movies, though, correct?
Yes, but admittedly, as I was watching the third one, I should have took refreshers like you did, where I was like, oh, wait, that happened, or I've been out of the Dark Knight funk for 3 years since the last one came out, so I was a little bit refresher to watch the third one.
Yeah, because I watched both the first and second movie the night before, which was a great on my part, because I don't remember much from 2005 other than the Spurs winning a championship. But it's nice. Did you think it lived up to the hype, though?
I think it did. I personally love what they did. It was a little long, but as I was watching it, I didn't really feel like it was long until I looked at the time after, so I thought that was fine. There was a little, I don't know, the character, I liked the plot was good, I liked the change, but some of the things I felt were contrived, and I could have like, oh, well, they should have done that, but I like Bane as a villain, and overall, I was really impressed with the movie. I was like in a state of shock. I was like, wow, did that really happen? So it definitely left an effect on me after the movie.
Yeah, spoiler alert, no. I'm not going to try to spoil anything about the movie. I thought it was a good way, I think, to end it, and that music you're hearing right now, we are coming to the two-minute warning. I know that's a football term, but we're going to call it that. But anyway, you know, I thought it was a good way to end the trilogy. Just, I still think the second one was the best.
But yeah, I agree.
But at that token, though, just, like, and if you don't want to hear this, like, if you haven't seen the movie yet, please turn off the podcast now, because I'm going to spoil one thing about it. What was the point of the second movie? You could have had the first one and then seen the third one, not seen the second, and the story would have made perfect sense.
Well, I guess they wanted to get the Harvey Dent angle in there. I think that's what they wanted to do with the second one.
You have Two-Face in the movie for about, you know, 30 minutes maybe?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the Joker, who isn't a part of the League of Shadows, and, you know, Scarecrow, he was just... he was a part of that whole mob thing too, but I just didn't get what the point of the second one was at all.
Yeah, that's a fair point, but honestly, would you want them to cut that movie out?
I loved The Dark Knight. I thought the second movie was great. I think it's the best of the trilogy. I didn't think a lot of people came out of the third one like saying it was the most amazing thing ever, but I don't feel that way. I think the second one was awesome. I think the third one was good, and I thought the first one was good as well. Just, I don't know what the point of that second one was. It didn't really match the plot too well, just because you could have skipped from... Anyway, we are getting close to the end of time. So anyway, thank you guys for listening to the Alamo Zone Podcast. Go check out KeysOnAirAlamo.com. We will catch you next time. I'm Joe Diaz, and we're out.